Morning, church. I said that last evening when I preached here, and everybody so good also say good morning. After that, they laughed, and I was wondering why they were laughing. And I realized it also is a good proof to you, you know, that when we prepare our sermon, when we preach here, the pressure is so great that we don't know whether it's evening or night, you know, or morning. You know. I was speaking with Dr. George yesterday morning, you know, after we have our morning prayer, and he was sharing. He said, Pastor Song, no matter how long you preach, every time you prepare a sermon, every time you preach, the pressure is there, whether you like it or not. And if you ask all our speakers, I can tell you, the pressure is indeed very great. This morning, I want to share with you one prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And I read this book, Sense and Nonsense About Prayer, by Lehem Strauss. Actually, he says, you know, the Lord's Prayer is history's most debated prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the history's most debated prayer. Of course, we are not going to go through the whole prayer. But he says even the name itself is not accurate. You say, how can you call that the Lord's Prayer? Because verse 12, which is the exact verse I'm dealing with, the Lord cannot pray. Verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus cannot say that prayer because the Bible tells us he has never sinned. So if Jesus, you know, he has been tempted, the Bible tells us he's been tempted in everywhere and yet he did not sin. So how could Jesus have prayed this, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors? So the very name itself is not accurate. So he says, you know, and then he went on and point out many other things. But this morning, we want to just look at the very verse that Jesus could not pray. You know, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. St. Augustine, you know, 400 AD, the church father, he says that, you know, this part of the prayer, he called it the terrible part of the whole of the prayer. He says the reason why, he says, you know, the first part, he says, God, forgive me, forgive us our sins, or forgive us our trespass. That is in present tense, correct? I think all of us need to pray that prayer for God to forgive us our sins, as we sang just now the song, he said, forgive us our sins. But then he says, he went to the past tense and say, you know, as I have forgiven, you know, those who have trespassed against us. Present tense and past tense. He says, the thing is that when you pray this prayer, you are telling Jesus, you know, that forgive me because I have forgiven my brother. But if you have not forgiven your brother when you say that prayer, in fact, you are praying a lie. Isn't it? He says, so whenever he comes to this part of the prayer, he will search his heart and say, before I say these words, is there anyone in my heart that I have not forgiven? If I have, I dare not say that prayer because I've been lying before God. You know, forgive me because I've, you know, forgiven my brother. And the second, even more terrible part is say, you know, actually you're praying for God not to forgive you. As I have dealt with my brother, now you deal with me. If I have not forgiven my brother, then you don't forgive me. That is the terrible part. Okay, so we see here, you know, forgive me my sins as I've forgiven, you know, those who have trespassed against us. And actually, this is the only verse that our Lord commented. After, you know, the Lord's Prayer, from verse 9 to verse 13, Jesus pointed out verse 12 again. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. Now, of course, you know, Jesus is not talking about the forgiveness. You know, God forgive us because, you know, he has died for us on the cross and all our sins are forgiven. Now, if it's true that he has not forgiven our sins, then none of us can go to heaven. He's not talking about that type of forgiveness when we become a child of God. You know, the Bible says, you know, as you know, all our sins are forgiven, as east is as far from west, and you know, and all our sins are forgiven. But what Jesus is talking about is, after we have become a Christian, we will continue to sin. And so we need to ask God daily, you know, God to forgive our sins. All of us will sin until the day we die. And so every day we need to ask God to forgive that sin of ours, you know. And so when we pray that prayer for God to forgive our sins, you know, we need to search our hearts and see whether there's somebody there we have not forgiven. All of us have sinned, you know, and fall short of the glory of God, you know, the Bible tells us. And so as we have, you know, come before God and ask God to forgive, daily as we live out in our lives, we will continue to do things that the Lord is not happy with. We will continue to sin until the day we die, you know. So that prayer is okay. But when we say, you know, as we have forgiven our brother, you know, so God, you know, what we are talking about actually is the restorative forgiveness. You see, we know that we need to forgive our brother or our sister who have sinned against us. So if we have not forgiven, then our relationship with God is not harmonious, is not as good there. Something God has asked us to do, but we have not done. So it is when we pray, when we, you know, the Bible tells us when we have sin in our hearts, then God will not listen to our prayer. You know, and disobeying God is a sin. So when we do not forgive our brother, actually we are committing a sin. So when we ask God to forgive us, we need to really forgive our brother, you know, who have sinned against us. But sometimes we say, God, I'm not the one who have sinned against him, you know, I have no enemies. He's the one who has said something wrong. He's the one who has hurt me. He's something, you know, he's the one who have sinned against me. So why do I need to forgive him? But if you look at the Bible, you know, in fact, in chapter 5 itself, you know, in chapter 5, verse 23, it says, therefore, if you are offering your gifts at the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you. It's your brother who has something against you. Not you have nothing against him. He has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and reconcile to your brother, and then come and offer your gifts to me. Brothers and sisters, if you come before God to worship or to offer your gifts, you know, to God, and you know that somebody has something against you, again, I repeat, not that you have something against him, he has something against you, leave your gifts at the table. Go and reconcile with him. Otherwise, you're giving the gift to God, God will not accept it. You know, I remember one pastor say, you know, he says, so we come here to worship the Lord. You know, every Sunday we come here to worship, good. But is there unforgiveness in your heart? Is there somebody you still cannot forgive? If you, yes, then go back and reconcile with him, you know, and then come back and worship God, and come back, you know, and offer your gift to the Lord. Not only this, you look at chapter 18, you know, a brother who sins against another brother. You say, if your brother sins against you, same thing is again, your brother has sinned against you, not you, you know, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won your brother. You know, and then go further. You know, then Peter was asking, Peter, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and asked him, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Again, up to seven times. You know, the Jews teach, you know, you forgive him three times is good enough already. So Peter is trying to be very spiritual, you know, add one time more and then plus one, perfect number. Six times plus one, seven times he was thinking Jesus will commend him. Ah, you're very spiritual. You can forgive a brother seven times. But Jesus was saying, you know, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven, 470 times. Of course, Jesus is not trying to tell us to keep count of how many times your brother or your sister have sinned against you, you know, and then I've already forgiven you 470 times. The moment you're 471, I'm going to knock you on the head. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that keep on, you know, have the spirit of continue to forgive. Don't count how many times your brother have sinned against you. Keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, even when he sins against you. And then Jesus told the parable of the unmerciful servant. He says, this servant owed his master, you know, 10,000 talents, which is in today's money, millions of dollars. You know, and the master was going to put him in prison, and he kneeled down and begged his the master. The master said, okay, you know, You don't have to pay back anything. Everything is forgiven. Gracious, you know, a master. And then when he went out, his fellow servant owed him, you know, 100 denarii, which is a few ringgit. But this servant who has just been forgiven, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And he fell on his knees just like he did before, you know, and he says, you know, I will pay back, be patient with me. But no, he threw him into prison. And so his fellow servants were telling him, what is this servant? I mean, he's just been forgiven by the master millions of dollars, and now this fellow servant, only a few ringgit he owes him, and yet he is trying to put him in prison. And so he told the master, and the master was very angry. He said, you ungrateful servant, you know, I've forgiven you millions, and yet your fellow servant owe you a few ringgit, and you throw him in prison. You know, he said, you should have mercy on your fellow servant. So in anger, the master turned him over to the jailer and tortured him until he paid everything. And then Jesus says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. You see, brothers and sisters, forgiveness is from the heart. Not by word of mouth, I've forgiven you, you know. As a pastor, you know, we sometimes know that our families, they are at odds with one another, or brothers and sisters are odds with one another. So we tell them, you know, we need to forgive each other. And so because you're the pastor, they will come before you, and then they will shake each other's hand, hug each other, and then cry and say, okay, we forgive each other. But the next day, you know, next week, you know, they want to talk against, you know, they already say bad things against the other brother. So it's not from the heart. It's to show that you have forgiveness. No. Jesus says you must forgive from the heart your brother who has sinned against you. So what Jesus is talking here is about, you know, this restorative forgiveness. Jesus is not saying that you forgive your brother, otherwise I won't, you know, forgive your sin. He's not, you know, it's not by merit. He's talking about, you know, you are already saved because you already have your salvation. All of us have. But when you do not forgive your brother, you're holding a grudge against him, and that is the one that breaks your fellowship and your relationship with our Lord. So he says, unless you forgive your brother, whatever sins you have committed, I have not forgiven you. And because of that, you do not have that very close relationship with the Lord because you are not obeying the Lord. You see, what Jesus is trying to tell is that when you do not forgive somebody your sin, you know, his sin, You are the one, you know, who is suffering. I'm sure all of us, you know, have people that we do not like, or people who, like say, you know, have sinned against us, you know, and we know, you know, he's talking bad about us. And so, but the thing is that if we harbor that and not forgive that person, every time people praise this person, we feel bad, you know. Every time people say, oh, this guy has bought a new car, and, you know, testing his car in the highway, or you feel that, God, why are you blessing him and not me? Every time he changed his house and, you know, moved to a bungalow, you say, oh, God, why are you blessing him? I'm still living, you know, I'm still renting my house. Yeah? Or he has a swimming pool, heated swimming pool, like it's Susa for you. Wow, you feel very bad. Yeah? So every time, you know, people praise him or anything good, blessings come upon his heart, You feel bad because of the hurt, because you don't like the guy, you know. And so actually forgiving another brother, not only it is good for us. Otherwise, when we harbor this thing in our hearts, you know, it's going to grow and grow and grow. There was this pastor, you know, Pastor Lawrence Kong. He graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's a Singaporean. You know, he went back to his church, and he pastored the church for a few years. After that, there was some quarrel, and then, you know, he left the church. And he shared with us, you know, testimony. He said every time he drive past the church, you know, he will have the ugly scenes of how the leaders and him were quarreling up in that room, you know, in the conference room. Every time he passed that, he will have this ugly, you know, he says Satan will put all these ugly sins in his mind, all the quarrel, all the shouting. And so for some while, he tried to bypass that road. He doesn't want to drive that, because when the moment he drive that, past the road, all these ugly sins will be in his mind. But one day God spoke to him. He says, Lawrence, how many times are you going to bypass the road? You know, you cannot bypass forever that road. Why don't you make reconcile with these leaders. You know, you are a pastor. You should take the first step to reconcile with them. And so God spoke to him and he wrote a letter to the leadership. He says, "Dear brothers, whatever has happened in the past, I ask for your forgiveness. Can we just sit down and reconcile with each other?" And thank God, you know, the leadership responded, you know, and they met in the room again, the room that they had a big quarrel. They cried together, they hugged each other, you know, and peace was there, recognition was there. Because before that, the Lord said, he said, "Lawrence, I will not bless your ministry unless you reconcile with them. And I will not bless the ministry of the church unless you reconcile with them." And thank God, after his reconciliation, God blessed Lawrence Kong's ministry. If you Google, you will find his name. And God blessed the church, you know, that had this quarrel with him. You see, brothers and sisters, our ministry as a pastor, our ministry in the church, if there's anything unforgiveness there, we need to reconcile it before the Lord. Not, you know, not to carry on and our ministry and not to take care of it. You see? And this Kendall, Dr. Kendall, he wrote the book Total Forgiveness. You know, he said he wrote that book because he, like Pastor Lawrence, also had the same thing. He pastored a church for 23 years. And again, there was a quarrel and he's left the church. The family was hurt. He was hurt, you know. And one time he was, you know, he didn't know what to do. And a friend of his came and spoke to him. He says, "Kendall, you know, you have to forgive that church. You have to forgive those brothers and release yourself from the chain. You are chaining yourself. So when you release yourself, you will also release them." And then he prayed to God. And God, you know, healed his forgiveness. And he wrote the book, Total Forgiveness. R.T. Kendall. And in one of his words, he says, you know, "Forgiveness is the poison we take hoping others would die." Unforgiveness, you know, is the poison we take hoping others would die. Who would die? You are the person who would die. Because every time, you know, people talk about him, you feel the pain in your heart. So unforgiveness is so, forgiveness is so important in our lives. If you truly want to grow and want to minister, we need to forgive, especially in the church. There was one church, you know, who invited a very famous pastor to come and preach revival in the church. So the pastor came and preached revival. First night, you know, last time always three-night meeting. First time he pray, he didn't see any response from, you know, from the members. Second night he pray and said, "God, I don't know what's happening, you know. I preach my heart out and yet I don't see any response." The second night also he preached his heart out. Again, doesn't seem to have any response. He said, "Lord, this is the third night. I'm going to dump everything in, you know. Please, you know, make something happen. They invite me to pray for revival, but I don't see any reaction, you know." So the third night, he also pray, and then he preach, you know. And after that, one brother at the very corner stood up, and he said, "Pastor, unless I make up with the elder on the other side, there will be no revival in the church. We have not spoken to each other for 3 years. And this brother, a leader of the church, went over to the other brother and hugged him and asked for forgiveness. And the whole church cried and revival started. You see, brothers and sisters, if leaders fight against each other, whatever you propose, this leader with his gang will oppose you. You know, and the same thing, if you oppose, he also have his supporter, he will oppose you. And you are blocking the ministry of the church. And that is a big sin. And it happened in many Baptist churches. Truly many Baptist churches. Because they take, you know, we go by vote. You vote, you put up your hand, you know, "I will be against you." I will be against you. How can the ministry ever grow? You know, if there's especially for leaders. So, let ask God to help us. You know, if there's any leaders in this church, I don't know, I'm very new here. I'm not speaking to anyone in particular. If there's any leaders who have harbored some, you know, unforgiveness in our heart, it's right to set up. If you truly want to be a loving and caring church, let's only, don't put that only, you know, a logo there. You know, loving church, when you love, I preached that, I think, last Saturday, you know. How can you love when you can't forgive? If there's unforgiveness in your heart, how can you even, you know, carry out the commandment to love one another as I have loved you? Jesus' love, it is what, unconditional, sacrificial. That is the type of love, we love one another. But if you have unforgiveness, you cannot do that. So to do that, you need to first forgive. Otherwise, you know, because first thing is our relationship with God, you know. We do everything God wants us to do, we obey God, and so this is what God wants us to do. A new command I give to you, you know, love one another as I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But we cannot do that if we have no forgiveness in our heart for anybody. So I hope, you know, truly we ask God to give us the heart of forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive people who have hurt us, you know, but ask God to give you the grace and the mercy. You know, because like this, you know, servant who has been forgiven millions of ringgit. When I first looked at this parable, I was asking, why did Jesus tell a parable with so much contrast? Millions and a few ringgit. You know, I was saying, I can't understand this servant, the first servant. If I was this servant, people, you know, forgive me millions of ringgit. If people owe me a few ringgit, even a few thousand or nothing, you know, yeah, I forget. But he, no. Is there such a person in this world? And then the Holy Spirit say, aren't you like that too? How many times have the Lord forgiven our sins? Before we became Christians, all our sins are wiped out. And we continue to sin until the day we die. All these sins God is have forgiven us. But yet in the church, sometimes a brother hurt us once, and we hold that against him. We are just like this servant. That's why Jesus tells this parable, the contrast. Millions and few ringgit. God has forgiven us millions of times, and yet we can't forgive a brother who may unconsciously say something that have hurt us. We need to ask for forgiveness. And to lead by example, you know, I've been here 1 year. If I have said anything or done anything to hurt any one of you, I'm asking now for your forgiveness. Truly, forgive. You know, if I say anything, I hope unconsciously. You know, I always say a Christian should never intentionally say something to hurt another brother. Never. A Christian should never do that. But sometimes unconsciously, we say something, they may have hurt another brother or a sister. You know, or sometimes people are very sensitive, you know. If there is, you know, truly forgive. What is so difficult to forgive another? Because God has forgiven us. So forgiveness is so important as we, you know, face the new year, as we face new challenge, yeah, that Pastor Isaac has given before us. You know, we need to forgive. Otherwise, we cannot carry out, you know, the Great Commission. We cannot carry out. Why bring more people into the church if we cannot forgive? One time, you know, a pastor was preaching, you know. He said, this church is fighting with each other. He said, and God will not allow the church to grow because the new people come, you will bring them into your gang and you fight the other guy. You know, and if you bring a new guy, you bring him into your gang and you fight each other. So God is not blessing a church that's fighting with each other. But when a church live in harmony, there's unity in the church, God will bless the church. When we do things that God is happy with, you know, God will bless the church. So here is so important for us, you know. A spiritual and mature Christian, you know, will always be the first to go and say sorry to another brother or another sister. That's what Brother Lawrence Kong has heard. You're a pastor. And a pastor should lead by example. And that's why he wrote the letter, you know, and God bless his ministry. For us, you know, it's like I say, you know, sometimes we say people are against me, people have hurt me. It doesn't matter. Who have hurt you? If you know that somebody, you know, is not talking to you or some have something against you, go to their brother and say, you know, I don't know. If you don't know, if you know you have hurt him, you know, then ask for forgiveness. If you don't know, truly, I don't know, you know, if there's anything I've said or done against you, you know, please forgive me. Recognition will be there. So forgiveness is one thing that our Lord tells us we need to, otherwise the church will not grow. Otherwise our life, our ministry, you know, as a leader or even you as a lay member, you will not have the peace of mind. How can you, you know, continue to serve the Lord in whatever ministry if you are still holding a grudge against another brother or another sister? You can't. We want to release ourselves. You know, and forgiveness, you know, is you are the chain that chains yourself. But if forgiveness comes to our lives, you know, you will be set free and there will be happiness. John was in prison for 3 years. And so when he was about to be released, he wrote to his girlfriend Mary. He says, Mary, you know, I'm now coming out from prison. I don't know whether you're going to forgive me or not, you know. But I will, you know, sitting on a bus and passing by the town, you know, your town. And if you're forgiven me, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. And when I see that ribbon, I will get down from the bus and then we will start all over again. And so John was, you know, on the bus, praying very hard that there will be one single ribbon, you know, on the old oak tree. But he says, you know, I've been in prison for 3 years, you know, everything I see also yellow, you know, and there may be a yellow leaf, then I take, you know, take it to be a yellow ribbon, then I go down Mary, not that also I'm embarrassed. So he asked the bus driver, please help me, you know, look for me. Both of us will look and see whether there's a yellow ribbon there or not, you know. So the bus driver, hey, I'm driving, you know, how can I look for the ribbon? And so he says, all of you bus, all the passengers, 40 of you, let's look for this yellow ribbon for John. If there's one single yellow ribbon there. But John was praying very hard, he's closing his eyes, you know, and pray, there'll be one single yellow ribbon there. And suddenly the bus was shouting and wow, very, very, very happy. There was not one single yellow ribbon, there were hundreds of yellow ribbon on the old oak tree. Mary was willing to forgive John 100 times. So forgiveness, for John, somebody asking for forgiveness. For Mary, willing to forgive. There's a big reunion. See how forgiveness can bring joy to the heart. Not only for him, for the bus driver, for the whole 40 people. They are happy for them. Forgiveness truly is so important in our lives. Many years ago, you know, I go every week to a drug rehab center. I think it's called Morning Glory in somewhere here. Our church, I was pastoring a church. So every morning I go, every Wednesday morning I go there to minister to the drug addicts. And there was a particular guy called John. You know, John, he said, Pastor, you know, I've been a bad guy. I've been a band boy from Ipoh. So you knew band boy, lah, you know how we drink, we gamble, we take drugs, we womanize, we commit all of those things. Right? I was a bad husband, I was a bad father, he says. But now God has changed my life, you know. I've accepted the Lord as my personal savior. There's one thing I want. My wife is already got married, we divorced and remarried. She's very happy. But I have a daughter, teenage daughter. He says, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because I want to write to my teenage daughter and ask her to forgive me. I say, why? He said, because one time I went back to Ipoh and I saw her and I gave her an angpao of $100. She took the $100, tear it and threw it into my face. He said, you have been a bad father. I don't want your money. He says, now God has forgiven me. And I want to write to my daughter and ask my daughter to forgive this bad husband, this bad father. Pray that all I want is that she to forgive me, nothing else. Pastor, can you pray for me? So I, you know, hold his hand and pray for him. I say, God, you know, John has repented. He has been a bad guy all these years, bad husband, bad father. But now he wants forgiveness from the daughter. Please give, you know, the forgiveness, the heart of forgiveness for the daughter to forgive him. And I prayed and I left. Next week I went, the moment I stepped down from my car, John was running to me and was crying. And he helped me. When he cried also, I started to cry. I don't know why he was crying, you know. But I mean, the Bible is biblical, but you know, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So I cried with him. I thought the daughter died or something like that, you know. I didn't know, you know. So as he cried, I stopped crying. I said, what happened? He says, Pastor, only God can do this miracle. He says, not only was my daughter willing to forgive me, but somebody brought my daughter, you know, in Ipoh to a church. And she became a Christian. And she wrote a letter to me and asked me to forgive her. and the letter crisscross. That is the wonderful part. The daughter didn't know the father was writing to her, you know, and the father didn't know the daughter was writing. You see, the forgiveness of God is so powerful. When these two letters crisscross, he says, my daughter is coming to see me next week. He says, even if I touch lottery, I'm not so happy. You know, for somebody, you know, to forgive me, being a bad father, and for God to do this marvelous thing. All I want was forgiveness from my daughter. But God saved her. Now she's a believer and willing to forgive me because she has been forgiven and I have been forgiven. You see, brothers and sisters, how wonderful forgiveness is, you know, in the hearts of all of us. All of us need to forgive those people who have hurt us. And we also need to forgive those who have hurt us. And that is a message. When we pray this prayer the next time, let us truly come before God and say that prayer. I was sharing with Alison, my wife, you know. I say truly, as I search my heart, I thank God, you know, I'm 75. And there's nobody that I have not forgiven. I can die peacefully, you know, because there's nobody I have cannot forgive. Not like this. John was in the hospital, and he called his partner Peter, and he says, you know, Peter, before I die, I want to confess, you know, so that I die peacefully. You know, because I was the one, they were partners, I was the one who told our competitor about, you know, the tender, you know, and so he was able, you know, to out-tender us, so he got that. I was also the one, you know, who told your wife about, you know, you having an affair with our secretary, you know. That's why your wife divorced you, you know. So I did a lot of bad things for, you know, John, I hope you'll forgive me. You know, Peter. So Peter said, never mind, I was the one who poisoned you. That is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Yeah. Let us not, you know, wait till that time, you know, for us to say, to make peace with God. I think we need to forgive our brothers and our sisters who have hurt us, and we need forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your forgiveness in our lives. We know we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have sinned so many times, Lord, before we became a Christian, and even now, until the day we die, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive our sins. And help us to have this grace and mercy to forgive our brother or sisters who have hurt us. Father, we know that in ministry or even in our daily life, there will be people in our family or brothers or sisters or friends or our relatives who have hurt us. Help us, Lord, to forgive them because you have forgiven us. And help us also, Lord, to forgive, to ask for forgiveness people we have hurt. If we have know of anybody, Lord, that we have hurt, let us have the grace and the humility to go to this person and ask them to forgive us. Because you tell us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We want to reconcile everything because, Lord, we were against you and yet you die for us so that we can reconcile to God. Help us, Lord, truly to have this forgiveness in our life, in our church. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.